getting some rest, some relaxation. And so we know he's going to come back full when he gets back. But we thank God for him. Come on, let's give our pastor and his first lady some praise today. I always give an honor to God, who's ahead of my life, and to my wife, wherever she may be, and my son. I thank God for them being here this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me this morning? God Almighty, we thank you this morning. Father, we ask that you bless all that we do and all that we say, Father. Father, we want your will to be done, Father. So we thank you right now, Father, for all things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 The pastor's given me a task. He asked me to speak about low self-esteem and how we overcome low self-esteem. I start out because I thought about a book that I read, and I've talked about this book before, was a book called Building Your May Self-Esteem. And it kind of covers everybody, not just your spouse but and your wife, but it does cover a lot with your spouse and how to take care of those people within your own house. It's probably one of the greatest books I ever read for me personally because it was when I read the book 20 years ago, I thought I was reading something really that was going to be for my what I was doing in ministry as far as counseling and helping other people. But that book really began to speak to me personally and what God was saying to me and what I needed to do. Not what I need to tell somebody else to do, but what I need to do personally and to look at my wife, and did I really know who she was? Did I really know what she really needed? So it really challenged me to look at myself to see was I doing all I needed to be to help her to become the woman that God wanted her to be. So as we look at the Texas board, and so now if you're married, you think about your spouse and think about yourself, but if you're not married, think about you as a person. What things are hindering you when it has to do with your self-esteem and becoming all that God wants you to be? The text this morning is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, down through verse 31, or at verse 31. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our liking." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. And then God saw all that he made, and it was very good. Tell your neighbor, say, it was very good. It was very good. Then you got to ask yourself, well, what happened? What really happened to really hinder us from being what God wanted us to be? And we know that thing that really hindered us from becoming what we wanted, what God wanted us to be, was sin. Tell your neighbor, say it was sin. I was telling the brother, we was talking this morning, we were talking about that text, and I was saying, I believe God wanted us to be naked, naked, naked to naked. Naked to naked. Think about it. If sin had not come in this world, how would we be living right now? But naked. Sorry to say. I'm sorry. I'd probably try to find some clothes, but yeah, he would have been living butt naked. Because that's what the text said. Because we wouldn't have knew any different. We wouldn't have knew any different. But sin came into this world and destroyed what God wanted us to become. And so everything else began to seep in into our minds and to our hearts. And one of those things that really has destroyed us is our own personal self-esteem. Self-esteem relates to your self-identity. It deals with these three questions: who I am, what I am, and why am I? These two words that I want to also clarify in order to us to gain some clear picture is self-esteem is this: self-image. Self-image is a term that describes how I see myself. If I see myself as short, ugly, maybe bald-headed, maybe this is a part of my self-esteem or my self-image. Then self-confidence is the other word. Self-confidence refers to my belief in my ability. Real self-esteem is the value you place upon yourself as a person. Worth is another word that describes or defines self-esteem. Self-esteem is the value you place on yourself as a person. Let me give you a good illustration of this. Let me watch the video real quickly here. Go ahead.
I'm going pro!
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, you'll probably be about as good as I was. That's kind of the way it works, you know, and I was below average. You know, so, whoa. So you'll probably ultimately rank somewhere around there, you know, so I really, you'll excel at a lot of things, just not this. I don't want you out here shooting this ball around all day and night, all right?
All right.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something. Not even me. All right?
All right.
You got a dream, you got to protect it. People can't do something themselves, they want to tell you you can't do it. You want something, go get it. Period.
I mean, that's a powerful statement. Very powerful statement. He says, don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something. Not even me. You got a dream, you got to protect it. People can't do some things themselves. They want to tell you, you can't do it. There are plenty of people out there that say, don't do it, don't go, don't do it, because they don't want to go do it. They don't want you to go do it. But if God has placed something in your heart, take a neighbor and say, you got to go. He says, if you want something, go get it. Period. To me, that's something that God puts inside of you. That takes a hold of you. I remember I was sitting there thinking about it for some reason. I don't know why I big back because I was saying I don't like going back and talking about my playing football or when I was in high school. I don't even talk about college much. But for some reason, this was running through my mind. When I went out for football at MTSU, I walked on, and I ended up with a scholarship. But when I walked on, we had 150 walk-ons. I'm not talking about the 100 they had in scholarships. I'm talking about 150 people just in walk-ons. And you can say, man, that was scary. That could take your self-esteem. And then I lined up, I played defensive back, and I played cornerback, and we lined up. That must have been 20 other people who wanted the same spot I wanted. But I had to make a decision. Do I stay or do I go? And I remember we had a word because in the middle of the night, we had people who would jump ship. And so the next morning, we would look and say, who went over the hill? Because there were some people who went over the hill, and you never heard them, even if they were your roommate. It's like, man, and they left stuff behind. But self-esteem can get you to move when you don't need to move. And you'll end up doing things that you don't even want to do because self will say, I can't do it. There are too many. I need to back off. Man, I may be too short. I may be too tall. I may be too big. I may be this. I may be that. And then you back off and don't do it because self is a war within inside of you that's warring against you, that's trying to get you to stop. Stop moving. Stop thinking. Stop thinking that you can do things because you're thinking about it on the inside. And you're allowing it to control you. Let me give you one more video then. See what this says.
So, how was the first day of school?
It was fine, I guess. I don't know.
Do you ever look at someone and wonder what is going on inside their head?
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did.
Something's wrong.
We're going to find out what's happening, but we'll need support. Signal the husband.
Carry all the way! All the way!
Uh-oh, she's looking at us.
What did she say?
What?
Sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What? What is it, woman? What?
Signal him again.
Ah, so, Riley, how was school?
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
For this, we gave up that Brazilian helicopter pilot?
School was great, all right?
What was that? I thought you said we were gonna act casual.
Riley, is everything okay?
Sir, she just rolled her eyes at us.
All right, make a show of force. I don't want to have to put the foot down.
No, not the foot.
Riley, I do not like this new attitude.
Oh, I'll show you attitude, old
no,
man.
No, breathe.
What is your problem? Just leave me alone.
Sir, reporting high levels of sass.
Take it to DEFCON 2.
DEFCON 2!
I don't know where this disrespectful attitude came from.
You want a piece of this, Pops?
Yeah, well, look.
Prepare the foot.
Keys to safety position. Ready to launch on your command, sir.
Just shut up!
Fire! That's it. Go to your room.
The foot is down. The foot is down. Yeah! Woo!
Good job, gentlemen.
Hey, man, the mind, the things that go on in the mind, in that story, that's joy, that's sadness, that's fear, that's anger, that's disgust, those things that happen in the mind that you battle all day long. But God wants you to control those thoughts. I was telling them this morning, think about your clothes. Think about the things that you got on right now. How much, if you had to ring that up, how much would it cost you? If I had to go through your closet right now, how much money have you spent on clothes and shoes and everything that you, how much money have you spent on your hair and all the stuff we take to get it done? So it don't take me much to get mine done. Just one razor that lasts me about 6 months. So I don't spend much on mine. But how much do we spend on the outward appearance? But how much money do we spend on the inside? What was the last book you read? What was the last verse you read other than coming to church on Sunday morning? Now, we read it coming on Sunday morning, but what was the last time you looked at something that was going to allow you to grow? At some point, the Bible says, you got to quit being fed like a little baby. Yes. Some of us are still eating in little spoons that baby has, and we have not grown past that. I don't think I can take more than that. But at some point in your life, you got to make a decision that I need more. I need to grow. It doesn't make a difference how old you get. The Bible is good every day. Man, I am amazed when I sit down and I listen to other preachers preaching, and they open up a text, and it's like, man, where did they get that from? I read that text 50 times. And I didn't get that out of the text. Because it's something about God's word that will change for you. In a sense, it'll give you something that it wouldn't give the other person. Because it'll speak to you directly. And as an individual. So as God's word is speaking to you, it is sharing with you how you can become a better individual. But tell your neighbor, say, you got to look inside. Tell them what's on the inside is going to come on the outside. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how good you dress. What's on the inside is coming on the outside. So whatever you've been feeding yourself, eventually you're either going to regurgitate it and throw it all up, or you're going to speak some kind words that God has given to you through the fruit of the Spirit. So God is saying today, it's time to build up your inside. And the only way that you build that up on the inside is that you got to be honest with yourself and where you are right now. And those things that are actually going on the inside. Some of us don't even want to be honest with ourselves. We'd rather escape. We'd rather do things that we can do to get away from thinking about those things on the inside. And I'll give you that just in a second. But I thought about three people, even biblically, as you look back through the Bible, who were great men of God who had some type of self-esteem issue. And one of those was Moses. Moses lacked confidence for some reason. When God said, you're going to lead the children of Israel, Moses said, me? You sure you talking to me? I can't talk. And God said, well, since you can't talk, I'll send somebody else to speak on your behalf. And I had to think about that text many times. I thought about that text. Wait a minute. Where was Moses raised at? Moses was raised by a king. Before he ever left the palace, because of what he did, of taking a man's life, thinking about all the things that he had received. I can't believe the man didn't have a doctorate degree. I'm sorry. I mean, he was raised by the king, which they were preparing him to lead. So he had to have something in him. But something about him, he said, man, you don't want me to do this. But he lost confidence. Then there's Gideon, who was viewed as a mighty man of valor. When God called him for a mighty mission, he tried to get out of it by chain, claiming that he came from a poor family. He felt inadequate for the job. Then there's Jeremiah, the great prophet of God. When Jehovah called with these words, saying, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Jeremiah was expressing his low esteem, and man, you don't want me to do this. How many of us have expressed to God things, Lord, saying, God, Lord, I can't do this. I just can't do this. This is not me. God said, you can do all things through me, through God who strengthened you. Now, there is a caveat to that now. There's something that God ain't called you to do. There's something that we want to do because we want to do it. I was thinking about this. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was messing with Josh, and I said, Josh, I want to sing a solo. You know, he ignored me. He ignored me. He didn't even pay me any attention. Normally he'll say something. He didn't even pay me any attention. I said, oh, come on. Now, I want to sing a solo. Now, I can't sing, but I want to sing a solo. But I thought about, I remember when I was a child, and my dad and my mom for Christmas, they gave me this recorder. About that size. It was a, I can't remember what kind it was now, but it was a reel-to-reel. Little reel-to-reel recorder. And y'all, some of y'all don't know what that is. That's fine. But I had a little reel-to-reel, and I was singing in it. And my dad, who can sing and play guitar and stuff, he came by and he heard me singing on that thing. I ain't gonna even tell you what he told me. But I realized singing was not my gift. And I need to stick to something else. So God gave me my wife, so I don't have to sing. I just had to point to her and say, turn it on, baby, turn it on. And that's it. She'll start singing. But there's some giftings you got to realize maybe God didn't gift you with that. And you got to, okay, that's not, that doesn't deal with my self-esteem. I can't sing. But I thank God for the Church of God in Christ who lets everybody sing. So when I came to Church of God in Christ, it didn't make a difference. You couldn't sing or not. You sing anyway. And they loved me. So I thank God for them when I came up to that church. So anyway, that's either here or there. I thank God for them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So even if you can't sing, you sing anyway. But God wants us to be honest with ourselves because there are consequences of low self-esteem. You become a victim when you have low self-esteem. People will try to take advantage of you because you have low self-esteem. People will take that and use it against you. Think about these things. We become have a negative vocabulary when we have low self-esteem that's on the inside of us. We begin to say, I can't do that. I'm a dummy. We use self-talk that destroys us. Then there's a lack of inner peace. There's a lack of confidence within ourselves because we got low self-esteem. We become a fear of failure. We don't want to even be involved with other people. We just become a loner because we have low self-esteem. We constantly self-criticize our own selves. We reject ourselves because we got low self-esteem. We're constantly, some people constantly try to impress everybody because they got low self-esteem. They're always giving negative reaction to comments because they got low self-esteem. Think about it. We get something good. We want to tell people, oh, you know, it's nothing. But sometimes God wants you to brag on yourself. Oh, God's been good to me. Man, I've been blessed because I got that. Man, I got a nice car, but I thank God for it. It's okay. Take your neighbor and say, it's okay. Sometimes people who brag and who have self-conceited, always trying to outdo the other person, constantly talking about something they have done in the past. And I talk about that one because some people can't live but in the past. And I have to say, what is God really doing right now? Tell you, David said, God is doing some new things. Come on, God is doing some new things. I can't believe God did not do something in your life like this week. That we had to constantly go back 6 years. Now, there's some testimony. Yeah, you got to go back six. You got to go back 12 years. You may have to go back 20 years because there's some things that God used. But at some point, God is doing some new things in your life. You ought to talk about what God is doing right now. God is a right now God. And he's moving right now. And he's moving things on your behalf right now. So why not talk about what God is doing right now in your life? Because he's a God that loves you. He's a God that cares about you. Then sometimes there could be too much emphasis on being too confident or afraid of anyone else seeing him as he really is. You know, sometimes we wear masks about ourselves. We don't want anybody to know who we are, so we kind of mask ourselves and we get people to think we are more than what we really are. The times that we build up defense around our weaknesses. Then there's a drive for power, being superior. We want to be in control of others. Then there are people who complain about everything. There are people who argue about everything. Then there's placing impossibilities and demands upon yourself that you really can't meet. Then there's a feeling of helplessness, an inability to overcome faults. Then there's anger and guilt. And then there's resentment. Then there's this thing that I want to say that especially if you're married, let me give you some things about if you're married that we go through that we don't really talk about. You think about it. When you get married, you marry that person just as they are. But you know how much stuff they bring with them? Tell your neighbor, say, you bring a whole lot of stuff with you. Some of us bring a whole lot of stuff with us when we get married. Whole lot of stuff that we have gone through. Whole lot of stuff that we have dealt with. And that spouse has to deal with it. But what God wants you to realize, if you're married, and this is just for married couples, if you're married, you're called to build your spouse up, not to use that to your advantage. A lot of times we take advantage even of our own spouse. When we find out they are afraid of something, we'll find out that they are going through something, we use it against them because it gives us some type of advantage. But that is not what God is called for us to do. Think about your mate for a second. Sometimes it's childhood or adolescent things that they may have gone through, some type of abuse. Maybe it's verbal, emotional, physical, or sexual. Then sometimes their parents have neglected them or their peers. Then there's fear that opens up and being real. Maybe they don't like being vulnerable. Then there's those who get discouraged real easy. Then there are people who like confidence. Maybe there are people who can't make decisions. Then there are people who have a difficulty admitting when they're wrong or believe that they're always right. Or they want to blame everybody for everything that's going on. Then those persons who are driven person. People who fear new challenges or tasks. Then there are people who openly criticize others. God has called for us to work together. Then there's those people who have a tendency to think that they're perfect. Then there are people who are overcritical of even themselves. Then there are people who don't even dream. They just stop dreaming. God wants us to look at ourselves and see where we are. I want to give you three things to think about this morning. Three reasons that we ought to overcome these things and why we can overcome them. First of all, is because we are created in God's image. I am somebody because God didn't make no junk. You got to believe that for yourself. Now, we quote it, we talk about it, we say, man, God didn't make no junk. You ain't no junk. But do we really believe it? Do you really accept what God says about you? Another reason that we can have proper self-esteem is the fact that God loves us. God loves you despite where you've been, despite the things that have happened to you. God still loves you. God says love can overcome a multitude of sin. He says in John chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, these words, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into this world that he might condemn the world, but that world might be saved through him. And the second reason is this, is that Christ paid the price for our redemption. God has already redeemed you. He has already paid the price for everything that you have done and what you might do. And he did that because he loves you. But you got to realize within yourself, what are the things that you got to be honest with yourself. What are the things that are hindering me in my walk? What are the things that are hindering me in moving forward and what God has placed in my heart? So I want to give you some things to think about to help you overcome any low self-esteem that you may have in your life. First thing is this. You got to guard your own self-talk. Whether you know it or not, you have a running conversation with yourself all the time. All the time. I don't care whether you're waking up in the middle of the night, whether it's early in the morning, whether it's late at night, you are constantly talking to yourself about something. And so what are you saying to yourself? If you want to change the way we think of ourselves, we need to change the way you talk to yourself. Tell your neighbor, say you got to change the way you talk to yourself. One of my favorite stories is the little engine that could. Think about that story, those who remember it. I know it's an old story. But he said, yes, I can. And he kept saying, I can do this. You got to keep telling yourself, I can do this. Nobody else in my family may have done this, but I can do this. I can do this because of the Christ that's within. I can do this. God wants you to be a success. Every time you make a mistake, don't bring up everything that you've done wrong in yourself. Tell yourself this. I am paying the price for growth that you may learn to do better next time. Don't freely criticize yourself. Confront this negative attitude and have it when it pops up in your mind. Second thing is this. You got to stop comparing yourself to others. We look around and then we want to compare ourselves to everybody else and what they're doing. And we think we ought to be just like them. But God says, don't compare yourself. Only person you ought to compare yourself is to you. Your mission is to become the better today than you were yesterday. That's your mission. But you got to look inside and say, am I becoming a better person today as I was yesterday? Third thing is this. You got to move beyond your limits of belief. Man, at some point, you got to say, man, I got to do this by faith. I got to walk this walk by faith. I got to do something that somebody else has never done in my household. Maybe they never gone to college. Maybe they never finished high school. Maybe the other things they never did. Maybe they never got their doctorate. Maybe they keep telling you can't do it. But you got to knock the door down and say, yes, I can. And maybe you won't do it. Maybe you have to look at your son or you look at your son or your daughter and say, you know what? I didn't do it. But I'm going to make sure that I'm going to do things and get things out of their way so they can do what I didn't do. You got to make that decision and look around your household. Maybe that's things other people need to be doing. And see, man, I need to build some confidence in them and take the limits off. You got to feed in your self-esteem. You got to think good thoughts about yourself. Fourth thing is this. You got to add value to others. You got to think about somebody else other than yourself at times. Because when you start building others up, it's something about it does something for you. You got to help a person in need. Try giving back to somebody else. The biggest thing that we could ever give our mates is we got to give them a word. What kind of word do I want to give them? I want to give them a powerful word. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You are killing too many trees. You are killing too many lands. We kill each other every day with the power of our tongue or Facebook. We're killing each other. We're killing each other. We talk, we say all kinds of things to each other. And then we're going to wonder why society is the way it is. Power is in the tongue. These words says from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, anxiety in the heart weighs a man down, but a good word makes it glad. Tell your neighbor, say, I need some praise. Come on, tell them, I need just a little praise. Just a little praise. Everybody needs a little praise Man, you ought to praise, give him praise upon that person who's next to you, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your kids, and tell them how good it is to have them in your home. You ought to value them. You ought to appreciate them. When we appreciate people is when they get ready to die. All right. We want to cry all over them, but we ain't loved them. We ain't tell them how much we love them, and ain't going to tell them how long. But when they get ready to die, we want to tell them how much we love them. But, we missed a whole lot of good times that we could have had together. God wants us to love on each other and to care for each other. So you need to praise with those lips because there's power in your tongue. Somebody needs to live, and you got the power to give them life. Fifth thing is this. You got to do the right thing, even if it hurts. Even if it's a hard thing to do, you got to do what. Sometimes it's hard to do what's right, but God says we got to do what's right. Every time you do what is right, it builds up your character. Sixth thing is this. We got to practice some small discipline daily in a special area, like maybe it's in our health, maybe it's how we work, maybe it's something we need to be doing for our family, maybe it's something else that God is speaking in your heart that you do. You got to pick one thing, one discipline daily that you do to help you to build yourself up. And then we got to celebrate what we do. Count your blessings. Rejoice over all the good things God is doing in your life. Eighth thing is this. You got to embrace a positive vision for your life based on what you value. What kind of vision do you have for you? I was asking them on Wednesday night, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years, in the next 3 years, in the next 10 years? Where do you see yourself going? Just don't let it just happen. You got to make plans for it to happen. It's just not going to happen, stands to get there. Because you think about it, but you got to plan it. You got to talk about it. You got to say, man, this is my vision. This is my direction. This is where I want to go. And here's some things I'm going to do to get there. And this one I really believe in. You got to practice one-word strategy. What one word would describe you today? If I ask you right now what word would describe you, what would it be? I would hope it would be something that's joy, peace, love. Hope it would be something that you say that's uplifting, not something that, man, I'm just a deadbeat, I don't know anything, I'm misunderstood, I'm not loved, and that's not what God wants you to be. I pray this morning that you are changed the way you think about yourself. Then number 10 is this. The whole thing is you got to take responsibility. We want to blame sometimes everybody for where we are. You got to take responsibility for your own life. Nobody else is going to make you any better than you are than you. I was reading something the other day, and I'm not going to get this quote right, but I was reading in the book the other day, and it was talking about when you go and make a price for something, the only person who's going to change the price of you is you. If you come to me, I'm not going to change the price of what you feel like you are. You're the only one going to increase the value of who you are. Nobody else is going to increase your value but you. So you got to look at yourself, and you got to take responsibility for who you are. Don't try to analyze everything. Sometimes we got to just enjoy life. Sometimes we can't even enjoy where we are because we're too frustrated about things. God says, just enjoy sometimes where you are. Don't worry about the past or the future. Trust God in where you are right now. Dwell on the biblical truths about your worth. Accept God's establishment of your worth. Remember that your worth is not determined by your successes or approvals in your life. Other than God, don't let anyone else take charge of your life. You are in control of your thoughts. Don't be impatient or too hard on yourself. God is not finished with you yet. Think about this for a moment. If you want to know what you're going to be like in the next 5 years, just listen what you say about yourself right now. After you utter the words, I am. After you utter the words, I am. You're setting the tone for your life. Who do you say I am? If I said who you are, what would you say I am is? I told him this morning, sort of like that story, the cops show, where it says, what are they going to do when they come for you? Well, if you don't say the right I am, what you going to do going to come for you? Your own words are going to defeat you. Speak words that promise a positive destiny It's not magic. But though words go out of your mouth, they come right back to your own ears. They start to change your own self-image. You got to rewrite, I am today. Who are you? What are you? What are you trying to become? Where are you going? What are you going to do? When are you going to get started? God wants to know those things about you. I know our pastor this month is talking about we click, but we can't click until you become who you're supposed to be. Because every time you turn around, something different is going to challenge you until you become all that God wants you to be. I discovered something, and this is a quote that I really like for myself. It says these words. To discover your purpose, you need to grow in self-awareness. You cannot change your life until you change something you do every day. You can't change your life until you begin to change something you do every day. You got to change from accidental to intentional growth. If you want to reach your potential and become the person you were created to be, you must do much more than just experience life and hope that you learn from what you did, what you need along the way. You must go out of your way to seize growth opportunities as if your future depends on it. Why? Because it does. Growth doesn't just happen. Not for me, not for you, not for anybody. You got to go after it. What are you going to do about your I am statements? Who are you? What are you? What are you trying to become? God is asking you that question this morning. If you want to build up that man, that woman, that godly person with inside of you, if you want to build up who you are and your personal self-esteem, then you got to tackle things a little bit different. Be bold today and say, I am wonderful and fearfully made by the Holy Ghost. You got to say to yourself, I am God's workmanship, his masterpiece. Not because somebody else is in, because God has made me. You got to say, I am made in the image of God himself. Christ, the hope of glory, dwells on the inside of me. I am thoroughly and completely and forgiven. I stand clean and innocent before my God. I am redeemed by God. I am called by his name. I am a new creature. The old life is gone. I am beginning to renew and become like my Creator. I am greatly loved by God. I am his child. I am the heir of God and co-heir with Christ. I am the one God's people, a member of his family. I am blessed in the heavenly realm. I am his treasure possessed. I am chosen by God, sealed by the Holy Spirit. I am the apple of his eye. He delights in me. I am precious to God. I am being built up into a spiritual house. I am a temple of the living God. I am participating in his divine nature. God lives in me. I am full and complete. I like nothing. I am the righteousness of God. I am his ambassador. I am free. I am healed. I am whole. I am sound. I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious. I am a trained soldier. I am a warrior of Christ. I am a fragrant of Christ. I am a member of his body. I am wanted and I am significant. I am a citizen of God's kingdom. I have been sent by God. I am the light in darkness. I am a friend of God, chosen by him, appointed to bear good fruit that will last. I am radiant bright. I am beautiful. I am an incredibly happy person. I am blessed. I am fully confident. I am created. I am talented. I am competent. I'm a great person to know. I'm a great friend. I can lose weight. I can change. I can be positive. I can be happy. I can be strong. I can be a winner. I can laugh. I can be fun. I can come whatever he wants me to become. I can achieve my goals. I will have a great day today. I will be more patient. I'll be loving to my children today. I will smile more today. I will have more than enough time to accomplish everything that God has called me to accomplish. I will manage my time better today. I'll make the time to exercise today. I would make better time of my care of myself today. I feel good about myself today. I will accomplish my goals, my special time. I will accomplish anything that he sends in my mind to do. I will have a bigger home someday. I will have good grades because God is with me. They were singing that song this morning and said, I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. He knows my name. And because God knows your name, he says, come on, I'll take care of you. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. I will encourage you. Don't get down. Don't worry about what they say. Don't be misunderstood. Don't worry about them not loving you. God, I will take care of you. I'll be there for you. But you got to believe it in your heart. You got to trust that God, what he says, he will do. He said, you are more than an overcomer. You are somebody in Christ Jesus. Would you stand with me today? God says you can overcome low self-esteem. But you got to know what's inside of you. And you got to be honest with yourself and say, Lord, there are things about me that I need to have you to uplift. And I need you to take out of my life, Lord. The times I've been torn down, the times I've been said things to, Lord, the times I've been misunderstood. But Father, I thank you right now that I'm going to walk differently. I'm going to be encouraged by your word. I'm not going to be defeated. Maybe misunderstood, but I'm not going to be defeated. You say that you love me. You say that you care about me. You say that you know me by name. So I ask you just to bow your heads right where you are. Father, I thank you right now that you know us by name, Father. You know us individually, Lord. You know everything that we go through. So I thank you, Father, that you speak, Father, to each and every heart that's in this place right now, Father. And Father, that you'll call them by their name, Father. You let them know, Father, that you love them and that you care for them, Father. And Father, that you know everything that they've gone through, Lord. But Father, you're waiting for us to come and submit that to you, Lord. So Father, right now, we want to submit doubt, misunderstanding, times that we're not even feeling like we want to be committed to anything, Father. Times that we feel like we need mercy, times that we feel like that we need love, Father. We submit ourselves to you this morning, Father. You know us, Father. You know us by name. Speak, Father. For these servants are right here ready to hear your voice, Father. We thank you right now for what you're about to do in the midst of this place, Father. That we could grow and become the men that, and women of God that you want us to become, Father. Fill us with your spirit. Anoint us for the task at hand. You're calling us to go forth. And I thank you right now, Father, that we'll hear your call. We won't back out, but we'll go forward because you'll clear everything else out of the way, Lord. I thank you for the blessings that you're going to give upon your people. I thank you for all things right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Yeah. God praise for Chap. Let's give God for praise for Chaplain Sanders. It's always incredible. Always incredible. If you are going to be baptized, we want you to go ahead and go to the back and get prepared for baptism. Just want to reiterate a few announcements. Before we do that, though, is there anyone here who doesn't know the Lord? This is a great opportunity for you to get to know the one that we've talked about, where your self-esteem truly does come from. We want to give you that opportunity. And if you want to fill out the form in the back of the seat, you're more than welcome to do that. And you'll give it to one of our ushers because we believe in extending salvation to anybody who wants to receive. Amen. We've all been here at that place before. And so we just want to give you an opportunity to receive the one that we've been talking about, the one that we've been worshiping and honoring and giving praise to. and that is the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's give God a praise. Amen. Amen. Just wanted to reiterate to you, the Shift Conference is going to be here. We have some great facilitators. It's going to be really, really nice. It's our first BFF, first Shift Leadership Conference, and our pastor will be teaching and some others. It's going to be wonderful. You don't want to miss this. Please register at the tent, or you can go online to www.bfftn/events and register on our website, tn.org/events. Also, we want to make sure that you are here next Sunday for the ceremony that's going to be going on. The word that came forth this morning is in direct relation to that service for us as single people, men and women, that we're going to take the challenge and the commitment to live a life holy unto God. That it's easy to do what everybody else does. It's easy to make some decisions that are going to affect us for the rest of our lives, but we're going to choose to live right before God, and that He helps us in every area of our life. And that is learning to become a whole person, not just a single or not just a married person, but a whole person, period. So that we can become all that God has called us to be. And that we deal with those areas in our lives that God is challenging us to put Him first. And how many of you know that when you put Him first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. The husband, the children, the job, all whatever those other things are, God is obligated by His word because He keeps His promises. Amen. And so we want to make sure that you're here for that service. The first service will be dedicated to the singles, and the second service is a service for the husband and wife. Please come to be a part of both. This is our family, and we want to share and be a part of this together, and you will hear more announcements. More announcements are on Twitter and on Facebook. Just to remind you, the seniors, if you want to go with them, they're going to be going bowling on Wednesday at Smyrna Bowling Center, and they're going to lunch at Legends afterwards, so make sure you sign up outside. We also want to make sure that you get those beautiful babies right after service is over. We love them, but we know you love them more, and you want to take them home with you. Our students, we are serving, blessing our students to eat after service, but we're asking you to give Sister Glory at least 10 minutes before you go downstairs. We don't want you to bum rush her. Give her an opportunity to put the food out so that you can make sure that you are fed and taken care of. Are they ready? They're not ready. Okay. Look at your neighbor. Look to find somebody looking right in the face. Look right in their eyeball. Eyeball to eyeball. You find an eyeball? You find a pair of eyeballs? You tell them you are not forgotten. God knows your name. Look at the person behind you, eyeball to eyeball. Real, real deep. Get that deep look. You know, that real deep look. And point your thing in their face. Say, look here. I said, look here. You are not forgotten. God, the ruler of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords, knows your name. Then look at him and say, boom.